2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse number 14 together to the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 14, the Bible says, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, but that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." I'm looking at the text in verse 16 where he talks about to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We've already had one message from this portion of Scripture, but I want to focus on that thought in the verses, in the context of it, and preach about the regions beyond you. You know, if we're not careful, all that we'll see is our own life. You know, there's some things that are beyond your life. There's some boundaries, there's some hurts, and there are some needs that go much farther than your hurts and your needs. And if we're not careful, all we'll see is right in front of us, and we'll never see beyond us. The testimony of the flags up, you know, we don't have to keep these flags up all year round, but they're a testimony that there is something beyond us. In other words, it's not just the United States of America. It's not just my family. But there is something and someone beyond me that also has a great need in their life. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He's talking about getting the gospel of Christ to the regions beyond Corinth. Corinth already had the gospel. Corinth already had a preacher. Corinth already had a church. Corinth had the testimony of the Lord. But there were regions beyond Corinth that knew not of their Christ, that didn't know of the wonderful experience of being saved, as was testified this morning in Sunday school. There's a host of people that never heard of that, and they have no hope of that. And so the intention of the Apostle Paul was to try to get Corinth to look beyond them. And that's so difficult sometimes, because we're so short-sighted many times. Sometimes we don't even see, even in our own lives, the bigger issues. We see the surface issues. And yet the Lord is wanting us to look beyond ourselves. As I think about that, now we'll go through these verses. Look at verse 14. As we think about the regions beyond us, the first thing he says about that in verse 14, "For we stretch not ourselves," there's that word again, "beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you." He's talking about in verse number 14 about stretching. You know, it's not a very enjoyable thing to stretch unless some of you have got this, you know, routine and you do all that stretching in the morning. I hate that. I need to do it. I really do. Brother Joe's, he's shaking his head with me. He's got to do that too, especially with a hip replacement. Brother Monty, when he gets back, he was talking about as soon as he got through surgery that they took his knee to see how far it could be bent. And I thought, man, right after they did surgery and they replaced your knee and they're going to stretch your knee out, see how far. That hurts, you know. I mean, that's difficult. Stretching is not a very enjoyable exercise. It's more enjoyable just to stay in the one place, you know. And never try to stretch out. You know, I remember when I was a young man, we played sports, and whether it was, you know, on the basketball team or in on the football team at the public high school or whatever, you know, they'd all get us down. We'd have to stretch our limbs. And I remember sometimes somebody else would have to stretch your limbs because you wouldn't stretch them far enough. And I remember especially on the football field, we'd lie down and then you have to have a partner. And the partner would grab your leg and stretch your leg, and he would push your leg farther than you would want your leg to go, to try to stretch all the calf muscles, because if you don't stretch out, your joints will just all stove up and you'll hurt. You'll get cramps. You know what I think today? I think a lot of people have spiritual cramps. And they're all stove up. And they don't move very well because they're not willing to stretch. I remember probably, I don't know why things come to my mind while I preach, but I remember when my son was just a little baby, and I'd get the, I mean, I would just gee-haw laugh and hit my knee. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. When Benjamin was about this big, you know, and when he'd go to yawn and stretch, I mean, you'd think he's going to stretch till his arms would pop off, you know, and his head all the way back. But a lot of times we don't want to do that for God. You know, God probably wants you to reach farther than you're reaching. God probably wants your life to be a little farther than you are with it right now. He probably wants you to stretch out a little bit. I look through the Bible, that word stretch, and I may not even just get off this point this morning. But if you're going to get, listen, look at the phraseology and the picture God's trying to paint. If you're going to get to the regions beyond, you've got to stretch to get out there. You can't just stay in the position that you're at. If Paul's going to go farther, he's going to have to stretch himself out there. And he stretched himself to get to Corinth, to get them the gospel. I mean, he didn't grow up in Corinth. He grew up in Israel. And he went from Israel over into the church, into Macedonia, or what present day Turkey is. And then he went up from there down into Greece, you see. And that's where Corinth is. Corinth is in Greece. And so he's had to go from Israel to present day Turkey all the way over to Greece. He's having to stretch himself maybe out of his comfort area, out of his comfort zone to get to Corinth. And he stretched himself to get to them. And now he's saying we need to stretch ourselves to get beyond where you are. And I looked at that word stretch in the Bible. And most of the time when God talks about anything being stretched, he's talking about stretching out your hand. That's the majority of all the references in the Bible. And I started studying that about stretching out your hand. And the first illustration I saw, matter of fact, the first illustration of or usage of anybody stretching out in any way is Abraham. He stretched out his hand to slay his son. You know, you can stretch out your hand for harm as well as good. Matter of fact, many times in the Bible you'll read that God stretched out his hand in judgment. He stretched out his hand, the Bible says, to smite Egypt. Why? Because Egypt had rejected the word of God, and Egypt had abused God's people, and Egypt would not listen to Moses, the prophet whom God had sent to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And because of that, God stretched out his hand toward Egypt, and he smote Egypt. And that's also found in other places in the Bible. God reaching out his hand to smite. I don't know about you, but I don't want God's hand to reach out to smite me. I'm not interested in God's hand reaching out to smite my country. I don't even want God to smite any of these nations. I know probably that's going to happen, and ultimately we know that all the nations are going to give into the Antichrist, and we know there's going to be an Armageddon, and we know that God's going to judge man, and we know that God's going to smite man. But it is not my desire for the hand of God to smite the people in France. It's the desire I have for God's hand to reach out to them, to the regions beyond, for good and not for evil. Because also, not only is somebody stretching out their hand for harm, but in the Bible, people stretched out their hand for blessing. Wonderful, wonderful story of Jacob is about to die. He's in the bed, about to die. He calls Joseph and he says, "Joseph, bring me your boys. I want to bless them." And that old man, sick and dying in bed, and Joseph brings his two boys to his father. And the Bible says, Israel stretched forth his hand. You know, I bet maybe he had some sicknesses. Maybe he had some, as old man, arthritis. Maybe he had some joint pain. Maybe it was a little difficult for him. But he wanted to stretch his hands out there and lay his hands on those two boys to bless them. You know what? I'm thankful today that I can tell you that God, I've experienced the stretching hand of God toward me to bless my life. The blessings of my life haven't come because of me. The blessing of God's have come on my life because God has stretched forth his hand and blessed me. And maybe for someone else's sake, not only my own sake. When you think about the world and you think about the needs of the world and the needs of other people, don't you think they need somebody to stretch out their hand and bring a blessing in their life? Do you know how many people are miserable in the world? Hey, as the old Christian song said, you know, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I was blessed this morning. I rode to church this morning thanking God for another day of life and a good day, thanking him for the sunshine. I didn't wake up miserable this morning. I woke up blessed this morning. But you know what? There's a lot of people that they don't even know a blessing in their life. All they know is misery. They don't even have a way to connect that blessing because nobody has stretched forth the hand to bring the blessing of God to them. I wonder this. I wonder if the church is a blessing to the world. I wonder if we are a blessing to the people in Japan. I think we failed the people of Japan. There's a Korean flag. I think we failed the people of Japan, you know, because after we won the war, and General MacArthur told us, he made a call, and he called back to America, and he said, we need, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of Bibles. He said, we need them tomorrow. We don't need soldiers now, we need Bibles. That's what MacArthur said. But you know what? We failed to do that. I wonder what kind of blessing the church is to the rest of the world. I wonder how far we're willing to stretch. You know, sad to say, some churches, they're not even willing to stretch across the street. They're not willing to stretch in their own neighborhood. God, help us to be willing to stretch forth our hands to bring a blessing to people's lives that don't know the blessing of God. You know, when Jesus was here, they came to him and they brought his earthly family. They brought Mary and his half-brothers, and they said, hey, your family's here to see you. And the Bible says this, he stretched forth his hands to his disciples. And he said, behold my mother and my brethren. In the blessing of saying, these are my people, aren't you glad that the hand of God can be extended to us who were not part of the family, and he can make us a part of the family based upon the blessing of the Lord? Oh, that we would do the same. How many times did Jesus take up the children in his hands and he blessed them? I wonder, are we being a blessing? If you're a blessing to anybody, you're going to have to stretch yourself. And when we don't stretch ourselves, you know who we're trying to be a blessing to? We're trying to be a blessing to me. Instead of stretching myself to be a blessing to someone else. Not comfortable sometime, but oh, that we would stretch our hands to bless and bring the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I see something else. Would you go to the book of Psalms? Hands were also stretched out in the Bible, not only to harm and not only to bless, but hands were stretched out to pray. Would you look at Psalm 88 with me, please? And we've sort of lost some of this. Now, some of our charismatic friends, they take it to a different extreme, but I think sometimes it's lost on we who know God's people. I think some of God's people, God is very distant to them in their praying. Now, I just want to give you this. I'm just giving you what the Bible says about stretching, okay? Stretching your hand to harm, stretching your hand to bless, stretching your hands out to pray. He said in Psalm chapter 88, would you look at it with me, please, in verse number 9. He says, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. He's talking about his prayer life. He's talking about trying to get a hold of God. He's talking about trying to talk to God. Look at Psalm chapter 143. We'll read it again, the psalmist will say. This is the Psalm of David in Psalm 143. Psalm 143 starts in verse 1 saying, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Now watch verse number 6, would you? Psalm 143 verse 6. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. That last word just means, think about that, meditate on that. He's saying, God, I'm thirsty for you. I want you. I want a relationship with you. And I'm stretching forth my hands to you. Sometimes our Christianity is so hollow. And it's so formalistic, and it's so plastic, and God wants it to be real. He wants your prayer life to be real. Maybe you need to stretch your hands forth to Him. And it's not just the action, it's not just your hands, but I do. You say, well, that's sort of strange. Is that a Hebrew thing? It's not a Hebrew thing. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, He said in verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. You say, oh, that's figurative. Well, you can make it that way. The prayer, I prayed sitting down, I prayed driving. I certainly don't want to lift up my hands while I'm driving and pray. Somebody on the other side of the road won't appreciate that. But you know what you might need to do? You might need a little bit more reality in your prayer life. When's the last time you ever walked up to heaven? Nobody has to be around. And you just stretched up your hands toward heaven. And you acknowledge the fact that God is real. And you say, Lord, I thirst for Thee. I long for You. And I'm lifting up my hands to You because I need You. I need You to cleanse these hands. I need You to make these hands holy. I need You to do something for my heart. You know what the Bible says in the book of Lamentations? Such a great verse. He says, I'll lift up my heart with my hands. That's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. You ought to read that. You ought to read that. Now, I know you can lift up your hands and your heart not be there. And I didn't do it as a show. I do it all the time when I read that verse, when we sing that verse in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, that last phrase, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And I always do this. And I do it from my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Now, I could have sung that without lifting up my hand, but that verse in Lamentation lays heavy on my heart. Lift up your heart with your hands unto the Lord. And God, I know You're real, and I'm reaching out to You. You get it? I'm stretching out to You. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with the regions beyond? You know, it'll take a lot of us reaching out to God for others. For the gospel to get beyond us, there are places that you'll never go, but you can reach out to God, to reach out to them. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send laborers into the harvest. I wonder, have you reached out to lands that you've never been? When I first came here, the church was supporting, I think, 80 missionaries, and now we support 121. But the figure that more concerned me was when I first got here, that was great, you know, it was great. It was doing fine. The church had about missionaries about 45 different countries. So, wow, that's a lot. Not when you consider there's 200 of them. And now we're trying and we're working hard. Now, as of this Sunday, we have 67 countries that we're trying to reach out to by way of our 121 missionaries. You say, what is that? That's trying to stretch out. But look, it's not just that. It's not just that. You know what we need to do? We need to be praying. How many of you prayed for South Korea this week? How many times have we stretched forth our hands? Oh, God, help those people in Indonesia. I'm telling you, it's not by accident when He says we want that gospel to be preached in the regions beyond you. And He says to do that, we're going to have to stretch. We're going to have to stretch our hands out to God and lift our hearts up to God, not for ourselves. Church, how much of our praying is about us? How many of our prayer requests are about me? And how much of our stretching our hands out to God in prayer is about someone down the road who's on their way to hell, or someone across the street that's never heard the gospel, or some broken home or broken life halfway around the world in China or down in Peru or down in Brazil somewhere that doesn't know God and doesn't have a church and doesn't have a preacher and has no chance? How much of our praying to God is reaching out beyond us? I tell you what, if our prayers to God just reach to our lives, they don't reach very far. Sure, pray about everything. That's what God said. Pray about everything. I'm not telling you not to pray for yourself. I'm just saying that our prayers need to stretch beyond me. Because somebody that's just like me or worse off than me needs prayer too. And they don't even know how to pray. Who are you praying for? Who are you stretching your hands for the help of God for? You know, the Bible said in Psalm 68, talks about Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Talked about a nation that knew not God, and that nation was about to get a hold of God and stretch their hands out to God. And you know why that was? It was only because prior to that, in verse 11, he said, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Ethiopia had to find out that there was a God before they could ever stretch their hands out to that God. Oh, the average church. You know, we have an unusual church in that we're not trying to just focus on ourselves. We're trying to focus on the world. We're trying to get to the place where we give more money to get the gospel around the world than we'd ever give to take care of our things at home. Because that's what the church is about. The church is about the regions beyond. Oh, how many places in America are just trying to maintain their church, and while they're trying to maintain their church, they die? God doesn't want us to just maintain. God wants us to stretch out. And I would say that a church that's stretching out to the world is a church that God will bless and help, because that's what He's interested in. Hands could stretch out to harm, to bless, to pray. You're in Psalms, so let's look at Proverbs real quick. Proverbs 31, we've had a good journey in going through Proverbs on Wednesday nights. Hands can do something else. They can stretch out for another reason. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, the Bible says, and this is a virtuous woman here. This is the example for any woman. Any Christian woman could use the example in Proverbs 31. We all know that. You've heard probably sermons on that Mother's Day. Isn't it strange? I've got to watch it. I'll run a rabbit right there. Some people, the only sermons they hear all year is one on mothers, one on fathers, one on the resurrection, and one on the birth of Jesus. You know, there's a whole lot more Bible than four sermons. Anyway, that's something else. Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible says in verse 20, look at it. This virtuous woman, she stretcheth out her hand. You see that? To the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Notice it didn't say that the virtuous woman stretches out her hands to her own family. Now, certainly she helps provide for her house and all that. It's a wonderful chapter about what she does. She's a working woman. Verse 13, she got wool and flax, works willingly with her hands, and she's like the merchant ships. In verse 14, I mean, this woman's got, I mean, she's making money. Verse 19, her hands on the spindle and the distaff. I mean, this lady's producing something. Verse 22, she making herself coverings of tapestry. I mean, this is an industrious woman, but why is she so industrious? Just so her household could have more good things and better things? No. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She's providing for the needs of other people. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. The virtuous woman is a giving woman. She's constantly stretching her hands out to other people to help them and to give to them. You know, there's an interesting miracle that Jesus did. It's mentioned in three of the four Gospels. Here's a guy that's got a withered hand. You read that one? I mean, of all the miracles, you know, I want to read about them raising the dead or touching the blind eyes, right? Or the guy that can't walk or the guy that can't hear. But if you got a withered hand, all right, use the other one. I mean, you can get by with just one hand, right? It didn't say his whole arm was withered. It said his hand was. And so he's got this hand that's withered away. And the Lord says, I want to touch that hand. I want that hand to be whole. And so he said, you know what he said to him? Listen, this is so,
It's just so just like the Bible. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. You know how you get rid of a withered hand? You stretch it forth to somebody else. There's a lot of Christian people that have withered hands. They're not stretching them forth to give. They're not stretching them forth to the needy. And the greatest stretching and giving that we can do is those that are poor and without the gospel and poor and without a church and poor without the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We need to stretch it. God forbid that we'd have that withered hand, but that we would stretch it forth to give. So hands stretch forth to give. They stretch forth to pray. They stretch forth to bless. But the greatest one, I like this one. You don't have to turn there, but you remember the story of Peter walking on the water. Don't we like that story? I believe that. Amen. Like the old preacher said, this guy said, you believe that, all those miracles in the Bible? He said, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Just as well as God made little apples, I believe that God did that. What he said. I don't know why he said that. That's what he always said. God can do that. He can do anything he wants to do. And Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee. Well, it was him. He said, come on, Peter. And Peter stepped out of that boat and started walking to Jesus. And then the Bible says he started to sink. And beginning to sink, the Bible says, he cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible says? I love it. It says Jesus stretched forth his hand. You ought to see that. Now, Jesus, you know, he could have done anything he wanted. He could have just made him start floating again, right? He could have said, now, Peter, the way you do this, and give him some more instructions of how to walk on the water. You know, hold your head up high and just look at me and do like this. He didn't give him any instruction. He didn't even give any instructions to the waves or to the wind. How did he save Peter? He stretched forth his hand. He did it personally. He took his own hand and he stretched it out there and he grabbed a hold of old Pete and he brought him up back on the water and he saved him. He saved him from drowning. And I tell you, just like the old song said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Has the hand of God ever lifted you out of your sin? Has the hand of God ever been extended to you and said, you can't save yourself. You just as soon, amen, go out here and walk on the Tennessee River all the way up to Knoxville. You can't do that. Only God's hand can save you. If you don't quit trying to save yourself, you'll go straight to hell. Jesus Christ, when he stretches forth his hand to us, he's able to save us. He's able to deliver us. He's able to get us out of what we could never get ourselves out of. I looked at that about God's hand. You know, I tell you this. You looked about God stretching his hand. God stretched forth his hand and he stretched the heavens out, the Bible said. God stretched forth his hands and he stretched the land out, the earth out on the land. You said, how did all the land get there? And some of it's flat and some of it's tall. The Bible says God stretched it out there. He put it out there with his hand. And I'm telling you this morning that if God can stretch out the heavens and he can stretch out the earth, his hand can reach to you. His grip is strong enough. His reach is long enough. He even said this in the Bible in Romans 10, that great chapter about calling on the name of the Lord, just like Peter called on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what he said. But he said, how shall they call on him whom they've not heard? And how and who they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And you know how he concludes that chapter? He concludes that chapter with a statement from Isaiah where God says, all the day long, I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Wow. You know, God's hands are stretched out to save anybody here this morning that's not saved. You know, God's hands are stretched out constantly to the world to save people. It's not that God's hands aren't stretched out. It's that people, that they won't take a hold of the hand of God. They don't want Him to deliver them. They don't want Him to save them. They won't call out to Him. They won't believe on Him. But His hands are stretched out to those that won't even believe. His hands are stretched out to disobedient people. His hands are stretched out to a murmuring, complaining, gainsaying people. But His hands are stretched out still. You know, that helps me, because this is what we do sometimes. So, preacher, I will stretch out to reach out to someone with the gospel in the regions beyond me. But if they're not interested, good riddance. Not going to try anymore. In other words, if our missionary in Romania, Brother Cornell, if they're not going to listen to him, why bother? I mean, if we've got that guy over there in Italy, Brother Holman, and they're not listening, those Italians aren't listening to him preach the gospel, why bother? Why make a sacrifice? I mean, if we got that dear brother over in Kazakhstan and they don't care, then why do we keep doing it? Because God continues to stretch out His hands to us when we won't hear, when we won't listen, when we won't respond. And the duty of a Christian, the duty of the church, is for us to stretch out our hands to the world and stretch out our hands to the community. It may get to a time in America that it's just as hard as the rest of this world for anybody to hear the gospel. What do? We keep stretching out our hands. Because it's hard to stretch, especially towards someone that don't want help. But that's what God did for us. William Carey, in his famous sermon in 1792 that really started the great missionary movement. He's called the father of modern missions, and he preached that sermon in England. And he took his text from Isaiah chapter 54. And that text says this: stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Stretch and enlarge the tent. In other words, there are more people that need to be saved. But you've got to make this tent longer. You've got to stretch out to make room. Aren't you glad there was room at the cross for you? Aren't you glad that there was room that God had for you? How much room are we making for someone else that needs the Lord? It's going to take someone stretching out. That's what Carey was saying. I say it's better to do that than Amos 6, where he said God's people were at ease in Zion. You know what they were doing stretching? The Bible says in Amos chapter 6 that they stretched themselves upon their couches. In other words, instead of stretching out their hands to help and deliver and to make a difference in somebody else's life, they were not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They were not trying to help anybody that needed God or needed help. What were they doing? They were not stretching their hands. They were stretching their bodies out on the couch. Oh, stretch it out. I tell you what, I got a chair in my living room. I sit in that chair, and for some reason, I just never stay upright. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the way you sit in a chair, right? Well, not in my chair. I mean, the chair's like that, but I got a little button. And stretching the legs out is not enough. I got another button. Oh, the comfort of stretching out, right? Sorry, y'all missed the illustration over here. Because you're at ease. You know what the picture of God is? We can stretch ourselves out and be at ease while the world goes to hell and have a comfortable life. Or we can do the uncomfortable thing of stretching out our limbs and our hands to the world and to our neighbors. We'll start up our visitation again pretty soon. The mask order is supposed to be lifted, and we're hoping things get back to normal soon. But the hardest thing in the world, listen to me, it's for all of us. The hardest thing in the world is to get saved people to be concerned enough about somebody else that's not saved for them to take their time, get out of their house, get off their couch, and stretch themselves to a world that needs God. We'd rather just push the button. Oh, they don't care. They're not going to listen anyway. We go and go and they don't ever... The Lord God said, all day long I've stretched my hand. Aren't you glad He did that for you? And He's still doing that for you.
We're going to get to the regions beyond. It's going to take some stretching. Go back to our text. I've just got a few minutes left. I'll just give you these. We'll be done. The regions beyond us will take. It's about stretching ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's also about something else. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. It's about preaching the gospel of Christ. It's not just about helping the needy. It's not about humanitarianism. The regions beyond is about getting the gospel of Christ to them and preaching that gospel. And you can preach it to somebody next door. We can preach it in the nursing home or the jail or on the radio or halfway around the world. He's not talking about a pulpit in a church. He's talking about taking the message of the gospel. That is that Christ died for our sin and He was buried and He rose from the dead according to the scriptures, and taking that message, which is good news, and taking it to somebody beyond you. Stretching it out to someone beyond you. Bringing that gospel somewhere else. You know, every second, church, what a sobering thought. Every second, two people die in this world. Every second. And one of these days, it's going to be you. But if you're saved, hey, it's all right. If you hear tomorrow, I've checked out, it's all right. I'm good, man. I'm with Jesus. It's okay. When Christians die, it's a blessing. It's rest. It's wonderful. But when the lost die, it's hell. Why wouldn't I want to get the gospel to them? Whether it's holding a sign in the street corner, whether it's preaching out in the open air, whether it's giving out tracts, whether it's taking a missions trip, giving my money so that missionary... Look, we don't just take missionaries on that are smart and they're going to the field. We won't take missionaries that are going to go preach. Because preaching... And I know it's out of style. People want the little talk stuff. But what he said, the regions beyond need preaching. What does the world need? They need preaching. Preaching about Jesus. Preaching about the sacrifice of Christ. Regions beyond is about preaching that gospel. You know, by the end of this year, probably by the end of this year, our little clock of people will turn over to 8 billion. 8 billion. It took human history until 1800, the year 1800, to get to 1 billion. And we're fixing to hit 8 billion. What a responsibility. To get to the regions beyond. You know what else it's about? It's about preaching the gospel of Christ. Verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Reaching the regions beyond you is about your faith being increased. You know, there are people who say, well, I could never do that. I could never. There's something about me that's in my heart now. I love to go somewhere else besides Madison County or Limestone County. I like my faith being increased. I got asked last night, missionaries begging me to come over to Vietnam, Brother Roberts. Wow, Vietnam. Well, what about the plane? I just think it's interesting to go to the regions beyond. I think it's wild. I think it's exciting. I would not do very well. I'm not throwing off. I wouldn't do very well having lived in the same place and hadn't gone 2 square miles outside of my home all of my life. There's just something a little kid in me. I'd like to go take a walk, see what else is out there. You know? You know, there's a world out there.
And our faith needs to be increased so that we can reach out to them. And we need to have an expectation. Lord, give me more faith so I can go where I wouldn't normally go. It takes faith to go to Vietnam. It'll take faith on my part to go to Vietnam. I don't like bugs. And usually I don't like people that don't like me. Right? I mean, we did have a war there not too long ago. But I'm sure everything's good now. It takes faith to stretch, you understand? To go to the regions beyond takes faith. Some of you, if you had to get on a plane and fly for 13 hours to go halfway around the world, you couldn't survive that because you don't have enough faith for that. Some of you in here don't have enough faith to get on a plane, period. Now, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, you got faith to get in the car. You know why? Because you're used to that. More people die in that car than they do in a plane. A whole lot more. Most people die with it. What do they say? The wrecks that they have. You know, usually when somebody takes a long trip in their car, you know, we're praying for them, you know. And, so, you know, Bethany will get in her car and she'll go back to Greenville, you know, and say, oh, we'll pray for you. And when you get there, call us. You know, most people don't die on a long trip. They die within, you know, 10 miles from their house. But it takes faith to go beyond yourself. It takes faith for our church to say, you know, maybe we could support a missionary in every country of the world. Take a lot of faith to do that. Take a lot of faith to give more. Take a lot of faith to be that involved. It takes some of you faith to go to the regions beyond you to go to next door, wouldn't it? That's a little bit too far beyond you. Go across the street. Takes faith. And Paul said, I'm praying that your faith will be enlarged because we're going to get this gospel to the regions beyond us only if our faith is increased. You know, some of you need to have faith that God wants you to go a little bit farther, not just with the gospel, but with your Christian life. Can I say this to you? As your pastor, as just as honest as I can, if you are content with where you are as a Christian, you're backslidden. God wants to take you somewhere beyond where your Christian life is right now. He wants to make you a better Christian. He wants to make you more like Jesus. So many times, people, they're just satisfied. Again, they're not willing to stretch. It's like they don't want to get on a plane, go halfway around the world. They don't want to go next door, whatever. They don't want to go any farther in their Christian life. They're just content with where they are. And I'm telling you, let God increase your faith to get you beyond where you are right now in your relationship with the Lord. There's some regions beyond you in your own personal Christian life. There's some victories God wants to show you. There's some things God wants to do in your heart and your family and get you farther. I give you the next thing real quickly in 2 Corinthians 10. The regions beyond is about stretching ourselves. It's about preaching the gospel of Christ. It's about our faith being increased. Verse 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's about glorifying God. God is glorified when we reach beyond ourselves. You know that great story in the book of Ruth where Ruth, that she had no hope, you know. And she's sitting at Boaz's table, that rich man. And the Bible says he reached to her that corn. He reached to her food and gave it to her. And Ruth probably never thought that through her that God would bring forth David and God would bring forth the Messiah to reach out to the rest of the world. But you know, sometimes all we're concerned about, listen, is for God to reach forth something and give it to me. And can I tell you something? God doesn't get glory in that. When my life is all about me receiving from God and never reaching out beyond myself to others, what I'm trying to say, if we can't get beyond me, if I can't get beyond me, God will never get glory. God will never be glorified with self. He's not, what does he say? He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When things are about us, we brag. When things are about us, it's about self. God's not interested in about self. He didn't get glory out of me taking care of myself. He gets glory out of me putting myself behind and reaching beyond me. When I get to heaven, God's not going to say, Brent, you glorified me because you paid your bills and you had a good life and you had a good family and you had a good job and you did all right and you worked hard and you provided for your wife and you provided for your children. You did a great job. That's not what, he didn't get glory in that. It's when I deny myself and when I put Jesus above me and I put other people above me and I go beyond me. I'm telling you, we are in such a self-consuming generation. You got a phone? Who's got a phone? You got a phone? We're in such a self-consuming generation. Right? How many pictures of yourself do you need? It's all. The other day I saw something. I said, I'm not seeing this. There was a woman sitting in a car, and she spent time getting, there wasn't nobody there. She got herself all ready, and I just stopped. What is this woman doing? She got herself all. She's looking. And then she took out her phone. And I kid you not, she was like this, and all of a sudden she went. And I thought, are you that important to yourself? She needs to get beyond herself. Yeah. We don't care what you ate for breakfast this morning. When you get to heaven, God's not going to say, can I see those pictures? Let the whole host of heaven see those pictures. Boy, you are styling and profiling in that car. Hey, Gabriel, they took a bank. Look at these pictures. You say, preacher, you're being silly. No, I'm not being silly. I'm talking about where you live. And people that live there never stretch their self beyond and never get to the regions beyond to help anybody else because they can't get to the region that's beyond me. They're on that big continent called me. And they don't want to take a trip off of that continent. Life's not about you. You'll be miserable if it's about you. Won't you give up on you? Amen. I'm glad I gave up on myself a long time ago. I said, God, this one's a mess. This one. I give up. Sometimes I've even prayed the prayer of Thomas, depart from me, O Lord, for I was a sinful man. Or was that Peter? Lord, I just give up on me. I can't do right. But you know what? If we'll just quit looking at ourselves and give up on ourselves and start trusting in the Lord and looking to the Lord and looking to others, if we can get beyond, I think the Holy Ghost of God is trying to really help somebody right now. If you can't get beyond you, you'll never go anywhere, let alone do the will of God or help anybody. The regions beyond is about glorifying God, not glorifying or taking care of self. And the last thing he said in that text, he said, not he that commendeth himself is approved of the Lord, but whom the Lord commendeth. The regions beyond is about getting the approval of God. Lord, I've done what you said. Can God stamp the approval, his approval on your life and mine?
Guys, that's what I want for our church. I want God to look down from heaven and say, Sweet Springs Baptist Church, approved. And that'll only be true if we're concerning the regions beyond.